always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
I also want to pay our deepest respects to the two young missionaries from Missouri, Davey and Natalie Lloyd, that were viciously killed yesterday in Haiti. It was a horrible thing, and I just want to pay our respects to their families, their great families, incredible people, and it's a very, very sad moment that what happened was so horrible.
That was former President Donald J. Trump reflecting on a story that has affected us all very deeply here in the heartland, especially here in the state of Missouri. Current State Representative Ben Baker suffered a loss, Chris, that it's hard to even talk about, much less try to put into words. Lost his beautiful, wonderful, just incredibly magnificent daughter, Natalie, along with his son-in-law, Davey Lloyd. They were... You know, we sometimes joke about this or we make it a cliche. They were doing the Lord's work in Haiti. And Chris, this has been something that's afflicted mankind for eons, where we see missionaries going into troubled areas. This, you know, this goes back to the 1500s. And for whatever reason, those missionaries, I guess because they're the most vulnerable, they're the ones that are attacked. It's just a horrific incident.
They are, and a lot of the missionaries know that some of the places they will be going will be dangerous places and places that they could be harmed or lose their lives. But they have such a love for Christ, and they have such a love to see those that are unsaved saved and be in eternity in heaven, that they're willing to take those risks, and they love their fellow man. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says there's no greater love than a person that's willing to give up their life for another individual. And I know Davey and Natalie did not want to willingly, of course, give up their lives, but unfortunately that was the situation, and there's no greater measure of love than that.
They seriously put themselves voluntarily in the pathway of harm because they were trying to do good. They really represent the best of the best amongst us, and they are the daughter and son-in-law of a very good friend of mine, Representative Ben Baker, who's going to be joining us here in just a second. And Ben, of course, has gone through, Ben and his wonderful wife Naomi, they're from Neosho, Missouri, down in the southwest part of the state. Ben is a wonderful, he's a great legislator, but he's a wonderful human being, and he's got a wonderful family. And I've watched him all weekend long doing something that I never wanted to watch him doing, and that was talking about this incident. When I found out that he was starting to do some radio interviews, I reached out to my old producer Cass, who now works at the Vitae Foundation. She's been doing an admirable job being the media spokesperson for the family. And I said, Cass, if Ben is ready to do any radio in St. Louis, we would be honored to have him to tell this story, how you all can help, and to give us an update on this situation, which is probably still changing moment by moment. So welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Without further ado, let's get to Missouri State Representative Ben Baker. Ben, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. And Ben, as I was saying, there's no words that can sum all this up, but just know that all of our hearts have been broken here in Missouri and St. Louis. We are overwhelmed with grief along with you, and we're so thankful that you're willing to come and join us today and tell us the latest on this horrible tragedy.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been difficult in many, many ways. I've never faced anything like this and the pain that comes with it. But Naomi and I, soon afterward, you know, knowing that we would probably get a lot of media inquiries and different things, you know, had to make some decisions regarding that. And one of the things that we both agreed on strongly was that we wanted Davey and Natalie's story to be told. And because there's so many reasons why it should be. And they were a perfect example of a selfless life that cared not first for themselves, but cared for others first. And it was exemplified in everything that they did. the sacrifices that made, and ultimately the ultimate sacrifice. So we're just trying to work our way through this. It's something that I never imagined we would face. But the support of so many people, our friends and family, and I've gotten hundreds, if not thousands, of messages from people, of course in Missouri, but from around the world. And the impact that this is having on people's lives has been remarkable. And so, I can't understand all of it and why, but I also see that the Lord is somehow using this for His glory and for something good and changing people's lives. And so that's something that is a part of what's keeping us going right now.
Mm. Representative Baker, this is Chris Arps. Who were Natalie and David Loy? Tell us their story. How did they meet, and how did they get involved in doing missionary work in Haiti?
Sure. I'll try to summarize it. There's so much I could talk about, but you know, Davy's parents have been there for many years, 24, 25 years in Haiti. That's what they were called to do, and started missions in Haiti there. Davy grew up there. He was fluent in Creole. Him and his sister, actually, when they were 5 years old, were kidnapped by people in Haiti, and miraculously their kids were returned. And I remember I was in Bible school when this happened, and we remember praying for them because we supported them back then, and knowing, you know, or not knowing at that time, that Davy would ever be a part of our family. And years later, they met in Bible school when they went to Bible school, and we saw, you know, the interest there between them. And one of the things that we, and Natalie was just such a blessed young person, just wise beyond her years, meek and mild, but strong and determined as well. Very stubborn. Probably got that some from me and my wife as well. But the, you know, when we saw this relationship pursuing, we sat down with Natalie and said, this is something, you know, Davy had expressed that his desire was to go back to Haiti. That was what God had called him to do. And, you know, so we told Natalie, you need to go see what it's like, you know. And so she, we sent her over there. She went for about a 2-week trip and to see what Haiti was like, to see what the mission was like. And when she came back, I'll never forget, she had a big smile on her face. And, you know, I asked her, well, how did it go? What do you think? Is it something you can do? You know, and she said, Dad, I fell in love with Haiti. Mm. And I fell in love with the kids, you know. And so we knew then that God had a plan and had brought them together. And Davy was also exceptional. Just, I mean, what 20-year-old, 20, 21-year-old can build their own house before they get married and do almost all of the work themselves? Mm-hmm. There's not many out there, I'll tell you that. Yes. And Davy was a hard worker, but just a joy to be around. And he treated Natalie like a queen. Just became such a big part of our family. He was one of us. And so they pursued and ended up getting engaged and getting married. Not long after they got married, they went full time to Haiti. And though it was tough for us, it was something we always taught our kids, you know, to pursue the will of God, to do His will first. And, you know, we encouraged them to follow that will, and that's where it led them. Not knowing that it would end up like this, but, you know, there are no regrets for us. There's always the what ifs and all those things that come to mind, but ultimately we know that Davy and Natalie's story is going to change lives, and it already has.
Mm. Ben, these are two amazing individuals. From just the little you've been able to describe to us, I'm sure you could go on for hours. These are professional angels on earth. And Ben, so for people who ask you, why did they go, or why did you allow them to go, or why would you? Well, Bennett, that question can be asked of anybody that bravely puts themselves in harm's way, right? Why do people become police officers? Why do they become combat veterans? Why do they become missionaries? Why do they join the Peace Corps? Ben, and so many of these people are Americans, right? If America America is to turn its back on the entire world and never have people that go there and do that, the world would be even a darker place, right? And it was probably a brighter place because of everything that Davey and Natalie did, literally doing the Lord's work in Haiti.
Yeah, it is. It's a dark place. Haiti is, and we knew that. But the darkest places need the light. And, you know, the thing, if you look at Natalie's Facebook profile, she put on there, I want to live intentionally in the light of eternity. And that's exactly what they did, as difficult as it is. And I think the problem is, you know, you won't completely understand it without faith, you know, the faith element. And understanding that our lives as Christians really aren't our own. And I know it goes, flies in the face of our current culture, which is very selfish and narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And that is, whatever I want to do pleases me and I don't care about anything else. But the mentality, the biblical mentality of the Christian life is that, is the opposite of that. It's others before self and making sacrifices to reach especially those that are lost and have never heard the gospel. And you read stories about people like Jim Elliot and the Fox's Book of Martyr, as I've read those things, never knowing that I would be faced with a situation like this where my own kids are a modern day example of that. And I think that's something that's powerful. This generation has never really seen a martyr of that type or that level in their generation, and it's already making a major impact with young people because they, you know, they're experiencing this and paying attention to this story, and I think it's going to have a lot of influence. So, you know, again, without that faith element, I don't think people will ever really understand. You know, you can always ask why. Why would people go to a dangerous place? Well, we have risk everything that we do. Hey, just go downtown St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You're risking your life, right? So there's risk with everything that we do, but at the very least, you can say that risk was had such a great reward. And we'll never really know until we get there to be with them again to see that.
Representative Baker, a lot of times in senseless tragedies like this, unbelievers will ask, how can a loving and gracious God let something like this happen to two people that are doing the Lord's work? I want you to address that. I also want you to talk about, you know, there's a Pastor Greg Laurie. There was a movie that was made about his life last year. And tragically, one of his sons died in their 20s of a car accident. And 4 days after the accident, Pastor Laurie preached that Sunday, and the title of his message was, I Still Believe. Can you talk about your faith and talk about that?
It's powerful, and it's one of those things that it's that element of faith, the only way that you can understand that. But the bottom line is this, like, our lives are not our own. When we had our children, we dedicated all of them after they were born to the Lord, just like Samuel in the Bible, which is literally lifting them up, saying, they are yours, understanding that there's a sovereign God that we can't understand to that level of all of his plan and what he does with that. And yes, we question, we're human. Yes, we have anger. Yes, we have hurt. Yes, we have, you know, all those emotions that come with being human. He made us that way, and it's a part of being human. But, you know, again, what he can do with situations like this is far beyond what we can really even fathom. You know, I mean, I look at this as the possibility of the next generation. Imagine and I think it's already happening, the influence that this is having on this generation regarding missions work. And you know, inspiring young people to say, hey, if they gave their lives at that age to reach people that they love so deeply that even returned it with evil in the end, but they still did it, knowing that that was a possibility. To me, there's no better example of being Christ-like. Yes. Christ laid down his life for us, even though we hated him. And that's exactly what Davey and Natalie did. So it's a modern day example of a Christ-like life and spirit that I think will have just exponential power with this generation, especially. And, you know, we get so caught up in all the things, politics and all the things, and I'm in the middle of all of that. But sometimes we lose sight of what really matters. And I'm telling you what, this has reminded me once again of what really matters.
It is for sure. Folks, we're speaking to Representative Ben Baker. He's a Missouri State Representative. He's a good friend of the station and of many of us here. He is from Southwest Missouri and serves currently in Missouri Legislature. His wonderful daughter, Natalie, son-in-law, her husband, Davey, were killed last week in Haiti. Folks, I'm sure you've heard of this story. It is international in consequence. Ben, with whatever you are able to tell us, and there's probably a lot that you are not, have the plans progressed regarding, hopefully, a successful mission to bring Davey and Natalie back home? I understand our congressional delegation, which is fantastic, has been very involved in this. And secondly, I know there's a lot of ways for people to give. We have been posting and reposting the GoFundMe pages. I'm sure there is untold costs involved with bringing these two wonderful human beings back home. I'm sure it's complicated. I'm sure it's very expensive. So talk about the latest status of bringing them back home and how folks can still help.
Sure. So as you can imagine, you know, with Haiti being in the condition that it is, it's just, it's literal anarchy. There's almost no government in place. And so doing anything with that has a legal process with it is just extremely difficult. There's so many things that can happen along the way. And then communication is difficult. There's just, you know, so many things in this process that's been, and we have such an angst about getting them home safe to the United States of America and getting them home. So there is a process in place that I think, you know, barring unforeseen things, which is possible, but it's been quite a job to try to get this put together and all the things that have to happen, the documents that have to be put into place before they can transit, and then the security involved in any kind of transporting ground, especially ground transportation in Haiti, because of the situation there. And so we do have an airline that has agreed, which was probably at one point was the biggest hurdle, was because they just opened the airport and there's very few people flying in there, very few airlines. So finding an airline that would agree, we do have that in place. So if everything, you know, goes smoothly, I think we could see possibly by the end of the week, them back into the States so that we can, you know, have services and all of that. The support and the outpouring of love that we have received from this has been just remarkable and touched our hearts in so many ways. People started GoFundMe pages, you know, trying to help in any way that they could. And it's just unbelievable to watch how people have been so generous to try to give and help us get them home. And that's our biggest thing. There's also many needs still there in Haiti with missions in Haiti. The Lloyds, you know, all that's still up in the air. The kids have been dispersed temporarily. The houses, one house was burned and they were all looted. And, you know, all of this is still up in the air with what's going on in Haiti. Jude's family, the other young man, the Haitian man that died and was killed, his family desperately needs prayer. Jonas, the one that found Davey and Natalie and Jude's bodies and had to see all of this take place, and he's 26 years old. He's dealing with some serious trauma issues, and there's no one really there personally to help him through that. So there's just a lot of prayer needs, that just so many moving parts to all of this. And we never want to make it about us. Like the Lloyds need prayer. Jonas needs prayer. You know, Jude's family needs prayer. He has two young kids. And so there's just so many things here that people can help with. Through the funeral home, there will be a link that people can give to as well. And all of that we're directing. Our wishes is that everything is directed to missions to Haiti. We want to help the Lloyds. And I intend at one point, if God allows me to go to Haiti and to go back when Davey's father goes back. I feel compelled to do that. And so there's just a lot of things involved with this, but just know that we sure appreciate the people who have sent so many messages. I can't even keep up with it all. At some point we will, but we love everybody that has been telling Davey and Natalie's story and that has poured out their love toward us in all of this.
Representative Baker, I just want to say that you and your family are in our thoughts and our prayers, and if there is anything we can do here at News Talk SEO, please don't hesitate to ask us with any way that we can assist. We want to help you in this tragedy.
Thank you so much. It means everything to our family right now.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us, and just so sorrowful and for this painful loss, and we are... I'm thinking of you and praying for you every day, brother, and hope to get to see you soon. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good day.
Thank you, too, as well. That's Ben Baker, folks. you can follow him, and there's a lot of information that he is putting up on his Twitter X feed, at Ben Baker Mo. And you can follow my good old producer, Cass. Chris and I both know Cass very well. Cass now works for the Vitae Foundation, but I couldn't think of a better person the family could have chosen to be the official media spokesperson, the conduit. You can imagine, Chris, the inquiries that are coming in. We want to thank the Bakers so much for coming on our program. It really meant a lot to us. We wanted to get the word out. Cass is at Cass B. Anderson on Twitter, at Cass B. Anderson. Cass is posting an update at least once a day, if not twice a day, with everything you need to know about the situation. Finally, I believe there's two official GoFundMes. The one that I've been closely tracking and retweeting and reposting. If you go to GoFundMe, it says support for Baker and Lloyd families. It was set up by one of Ben's friends, Chris Slinkard, and fellow colleague Representative Dirk Deaton, who is very close friends with Ben. And so there's that one. I think there's another one as well. Chris, the goal for this one was originally $20,000. It's about to hit $70,000, which is fantastic because
it's going to be double, triple.
Yeah.
Easy.
Can you imagine the cost associated with trying to get people back home from this country right now? And they are due the largest memorial service they can put on.
And so, he spelled it out. I mean, there's not an airline that wants to fly to Haiti. It's not safe. So I'm glad that they found an airline to secure getting the remains out of there. I just wonder, and I didn't want to be insensitive or anything like that, but I'm like, hey, if there is not an airline that that feels it's safe to go in there to Haiti, we need to send in a C-130.
Yeah.
Or an American military plane to go in there and get those kids home.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of ridiculousness going on right now that we didn't want to get to Ben with. He's obviously, this is a wound, this is a deep wound, and we've all had tragedies in our lives, and you know, I tell the story sometimes of my aunt who died decades ago, and that wound is still there. This is a wound that's going to last forever. We'll get into some of the political stuff later, but there's some ridiculous crap going on right now. Some of the gun control advocates, it's just, Chris talked about this earlier. Yeah. How stupid to bring that up when you're dealing with an island nation that had an assassination of its president 3 years ago and is in complete and utter civil unrest and chaos.
And they don't have good gun laws. That's why this happens.
So that's a stupid conversation. The second one is, of course, the liberal lunatics are making hay out of the fact that Donald Trump called Ben Baker. Good. That draws attention to this.
Why hasn't Biden called Ben Baker?
This doesn't need to be political. And so good for President Trump. Yeah. We played that phone call. It was completely appropriate. Every leader in the United States of America should be calling the Baker family and asking how they can help right now.
President Biden should have been one of the first calls that they received. Second should have been the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Instead, he's having campaign stops in the Trump trial in New York. It's just ridiculous. I hope this put a lot of things in perspective for you all. I hope you can help this family. We will post that interview very quickly here. We'll be right back.
And the GoFundMe information, too.
Absolutely. We'll continue to talk about this and a lot of other issues with Dr. Randy Tolbert when we come back here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.